I speak to you today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Every once in a while, when my wife is not in the room, I make some kind of comment, and one of you tells her. So let me be clear before I do it again. She's one of the smartest, most talented people I know, and I'm sure I would not do well without her. We have known each other an extremely long time, and she continues to believe that I still have hope. Notwithstanding, every once in a while we're having a conversation, and in the middle of it, I'll turn to her and I'll say, who are we talking about? Where did that happen? Did I miss something? And she's always very thoughtful and generous and says, yes, you did. I'll say, you know, context helps. And let me know near the beginning of the story what's happening. And she says, well, there were three stories that were happening simultaneously. And if you were listening more carefully, you would have caught one of them. Context is important. In today's gospel, context is absolutely everything. Because the timing of the message that Jesus is sharing with the disciples is essential. And the gospel begins, when he had gone out. I want you to imagine for a moment that Jesus and the disciples are walking down a hallway. They have left the upper room, and they're on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. And that is the setting for today. That is the context. And Jesus kind of looks over his shoulders and he says, now that the Son of Man has been glorified and God has been glorified in him, if God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. And the whole group of the disciples said, what? Where did that come from? What's the context? And he doesn't explain. It isn't until we study the Greek and the Hebrew that we come to understand this, that for Jesus, he was redefining glorification. He was redefining the moment. And he was saying where everybody else in the whole world gets acclaimed, gets awards, gets presentations, the way Jesus works is different. His glorification would be his death and his resurrection. The way people would remember him, the way people could acknowledge him as Lord and Savior, the way he would be understood as Messiah is through his death and resurrection. Don't worry if you didn't get it the first time. I sure didn't get it the first time. And after years of study, I'm hoping I was able to just relate to you as much as I've figured out so far. As they make their way from the hallway, he says something like this, little children, I am with you only a little longer. You'll look for me. And as I said to the Jews, I now say to you, where I'm going, you not cannot come. And he's trying to explain what's about to happen in the trial, in the beating, in the crucifixion, and in the resurrection. And again, he's saying, you can't come with me right now. But I leave an important message. And then he says this. I give you a new commandment that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples and if you have love for one another. Now again, context, please. Somebody explain how that all fit in. I mean, after all, you know that commandment really well. It's from Leviticus in the Old Testament. But Jesus is restating a new opportunity for spiritual transformation in this moment. And he's saying this to them. The worst of the worst of the worst is about to happen. And if you can love each other, accept each other, encourage each other, empower each other, support each other in the worst times of life, then they'll know that you belong to me. The evidence is speaking love, acting love, functioning constantly in love for the other person, so much so that they know that you would risk everything for them. That's the kind of love that we're talking about. It's so easy to enjoy somebody when their marriage is going great. But when they're in a separation or in the midst of a divorce, there's a tendency to back off. Don't back off. Move in. Separation and divorce is one of the most painful moments of life. It's so easy to enjoy somebody when they're healthy, but when the diagnosis of cancer comes along, don't back off. Move in. Let them know by your words, by your letters, by your telephone calls, by your texts, by your Facebook, by every method possible that you pray for them and that you love them the way they are and are praying for restoration of wholeness. It's so easy to enjoy somebody when they have a great job, but when they get fired, and no fault of their own in downsizing, don't back off, move in. It's a kind of love that accepts people the way they are and invites them to grow. Jesus is saying, I need you to take a risk to love each other, trust each other, respect each other, care for each other in the most difficult moments of life. And then they'll know that you belong to me. There are moments where we need to move in. Sue Austin understood this. As a teenager, she took critically ill, was confined to a wheelchair. But she was surrounded in people that loved and respected her and cared for her. And she sat there one day in her wheelchair and she said, my best friends are going scuba diving. And by the grace of God, one day I'm going scuba diving. In my wheelchair. And she grew up and she made her way through high school and college and university. And she became an extraordinary inventor. And just recently it has been released that Sue Austin has built a floating wheelchair that you can scuba dive in. And the first one to try it out was Sue. To take the pain of life and give it purpose is one of the great challenges of loving ourselves and each other. Wonderful story. Tim Conway. Most of you know Tim and his work. Born in 1933 in Ohio, served the Army, was a radio broadcaster and a comedian and actor. 5 television shows, 5 movies, and even loaned his voice to a series of cartoons in the last 10 years. A devout Roman Catholic Christian. But there's more. When Tim Conway was in grade school, he was asked to stand up and read a lesson that they were in the middle of. And as he began to read, all the other kids laughed at him. You see, Tim had profound dyslexia. Only something happened in his head. He could have been devastated by the moment, but instead he said, what if I spent my whole life with people laughing? What if I could deliberately, intentionally be goofy? And bring joy and laughter everywhere I go. And he made it his life's purpose. Many of you remember the Carol Burnett show. Some of you will even remember the scene. Tim is a new dentist. Do you remember this? And he managed to give himself the anesthetic. His extraordinary sense of humor had Carol Burnett once say, he's one of the most loving people I've ever met. You know, when life comes to an end for each one of us, wouldn't it be great if one of the phrases that was used is that you were one of the most loving people anyone had ever met. That Christian love is to love with the purpose of showing Christ's love to others. What a powerful commission. Some of you will remember Doris Day, who we also lost in the last week or two. Born in 1924, at the age of 97, a singer, a dancer, an actor. But did you know that Doris Day had to live through some extraordinary heartbreak? She came from a church-going family. It was most unfortunate that in the middle of a very public moment, her own dad was confronted as being in the middle of an affair. He was the church organist. She lived in those early days with divorced parents. As she recovered from one incident and through perseverance and the power of prayer continued to try and grow and learn, she began to dance. She was one of the best children dancers in North America. And one day, as a group of teenagers asked her to go for a ride, it got dark outside of Cincinnati. There were no lights, and they went across the train tracks, and a train hit her car, and she would never dance again. And yet, in her recovery period, through perseverance and prayer, she began to sing to the songs on the radio. And her family and friends discovered she had a marvelous voice, and they put her into further training. And as you know, she sang. And two of some of our spiritual favorites that she sang on a regular basis were "Nearer My God to Thee" and "The Lord's Prayer." Some of you remember that she was singing, "Try Not to Acknowledge This, It'll Let Everybody Know Your Age," that she was singing with Jimmy James. Okay, there and over there. As time went on, she became known as the girl next door. In the 1970s, having lost her third husband, she became very quiet and recluse, and she opened a huge animal care facility. In 2014, she won the Presidential Medal of Freedom. She lived her life with a certain optimism and focus. What's most fascinating about this situation is that when she died, she said no funeral, no tombstone, no acclaim. Society was allowed to see a picture of her in an open casket, and that was the end. No fanfare. She had lived her life to the best she possibly could in the midst of difficult circumstances. You see, Jesus is saying to every single one of us today, can you live your life with the purpose of loving the person on your right and the person on your left, the person behind you and the person in front of you? It does not mean you will always like them. Sometimes your love for them is to pray for them. Sometimes your love will be in words, sometimes it will be in action. But let us join the throngs of believers, and may our life's purpose be to love. Amen.